Proverbs 4, beginning with verse says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." Can I be, there's another scripture that kind of explains that. If you got your Bible, go to Psalms 34, 11. Actually, I'm going to start at Psalms 34, 9. And we're going to go from 9 to 11. And it says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." And then 11 says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord."
That is so powerful. You know, and unfortunately, we're living in a time where that fear, that reverence of God, and we've been talking about that since we started Proverbs, and Proverbs, the first chapter, started talking about that reverence, that fear of God, you know, and it seems like we've lost that. We've lost that reverence in God, and man has made it about themselves. And when it's not about themselves, it's about somebody else, you know, and we're pointing fingers in different directions instead of pointing it at ourselves. You know, and I think that's so important right now. And this generation is going to have to be humble. You know, and it's not just this generation. You know, because prior generations have to be the examples for this generation. And obviously, we haven't been a good enough example. We haven't had enough good examples to show them something different, to give them a reason to reverence God.
And I would add to that, not along with the example not being the good example, we haven't done the good teaching. The word here that you just had me read says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father." It doesn't say the example of a father, even though there's words in the Bible that let us know that we have to lead a life of holiness so that others might know the Lord. This says instruction, which means you got to speak some things and teach them. Obviously, we haven't been doing that. What do you think, Jeremy? You think we've been teaching? Reverencing God?
I'm sorry, my head was over somewhere else.
Okay.
I was sitting here thinking, as y'all said that only thing that I could think of is when the Lord said that every knee shall bow. And I really think you guys teach. People only gonna grasp on to what they want to grasp on to at the time of their life when it's convenient for them. But eventually, life on life.
Yes, sir.
And it sucks because most of the time is when people get rock bottom and have nothing else, nobody else to lean on.
Wow, you just said something really powerful.
Yeah, and that is.
That's exactly how it works.
That's that area.
And excuse me, Pastor, I just don't want to lose my train of thought. And that just brings me to my daily life right now and why things are not so rough right now. Like, I want things to be better, but why it's not so rough? It just makes me fall out. I can remember the times where it was, and I was at rock bottom. It's like, people don't understand why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. I'm comfortable, more comfortable than I was, but I'm not comfortable enough to go back to rock bottom. I'm going to keep walking with God, most importantly, because I don't want to go back. And you don't gotta wait till you hit rock bottom to follow God and to know what's right to
do. Okay,
so everybody sees me up there knows I get excited when we start talking the word and how it applies to life or how life gets applied to you, to the word that you know, right? So I was watching Priscilla Shriver today. Everybody knows her. She's a young lady who was the actress in War Room, which is about prayer.
function.
So one of the things that's really important is that God knows that we don't normally turn to him until we can't turn anywhere else. And that's because the enemy has made it so that we don't walk by faith, most of us. We walk by sight. So that we submit, I'm taking this all the way down the line, we submit to what's going on in our flesh before we submit to what's going on in the spirit man. Spirit man is really the one in control. It really is when you're feeding, right? But so I'm saying this to say, let me bring this home. When you are, I often deal with people who are going through substance abuse. Okay? And if you've ever been in the rooms, there's some things that are said. The rooms is where you go, NA, AA, those places. And they say some things. One of the first things they said in the 12 steps is that you have to admit that you're powerless. That you're powerless. That is one of the hardest positions for man, I mean you man, women or man, to be, to admit that you absolutely can do nothing without God.
And you know, that is so important because that's the beginning of victory. You know, people make being powerless you defeated.
Yes.
But that's the opposite with God. Yes. Because when you admit that you are powerless, you give him the authority to operate in your life. You know, and he just said as far as hitting that bottom. Mm-hmm. See, when you're at that bottom, you're powerless.
That's right.
And at that bottom place is when you begin to find victory.
Yes.
Because you're not dependent on yourself. You're dependent on God. It says here in my notes, it says, today many young adults struggle with rejecting authority or seeking wisdom elsewhere. But this passage encourages listening to those who have walked before us.
Yes, sir.
You know, and that's the part we were talking about, being better examples. There's not enough examples walking before them who have been trusting God and saying, look, it's not in me. It's because of God that I'm able to do this. And myself, I fell over and over again. And too many times, too many people are boasting in themselves.
Ooh, right there.
And they're forgetting about how they got there. And you know, you talk about that movie, Left Behind. Mm-hmm. And you talk about that pastor who was in the church and he was shared that verse with that lady. It was like, I was playing church.
Mm-hmm.
And we got too many people playing church.
Yes.
They know how to play church so well. And that's why so many young adults are rejecting the relationship with God, because people are playing church and not really living it.
And a lot of that sometimes comes from a lot of things, mostly the enemy. But when you don't understand the word of God, you will misunderstand how to apply it and how to live it. So let me just add this. The definition, the true definition of the word church, church is the English word, but the true definition, the Greek Aramaic definition, means governing. And you wonder, well, how do we get the church from governing to church? God intended his people to govern the earth and everything in it, not govern people, govern the earth. And so the church, those of us who are part of the kingdom, are the church, the people who govern the earth. Now, the ecclesia is the called out. That means you've left what was, and now you're part of the kingdom. That takes you to the next level. Yes.
I just want to read verse 4 again. Because verse 4 says, again, he says, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. And live. You know, they got that movie out called The Walking Dead. You know, and you said it's good. We got a lot of people walking dead.
Absolutely.
You know, and my pops used to say to me a long time ago, he said, there's a difference between living and existing. You know, and see, the enemy has tricked people into just existing and not living. You know, and people basing things off of material stuff and having this and seeing, but there's no peace. You know, and that's the part where he's sharing that right here, that fear of the Lord, that reverence of the Lord. He said, keep my commandments and live. You know, when people hear that, keep that my commandments and all that this stuff, they make you think like you gotta do this, that. No.
Yeah, they make things rigid.
Yeah, it's not that.
And it's actually freedom.
It's freedom. It's
hello.
You can come up, we got a question or a statement.
I don't know why it keeps doing that. I see it, though. All right, thank you. I see it. Thank you.
Freedom. All right. And we were just talking about, like, the word and, like, knowing the word.
What's up, bud?
And she was telling me, like, she had, like, a light bulb moment. And it was, like, saying, like, knowing the word of God and...
What's up? How far?
What's up?
Well, how are you?
Good.
How was karate?
Good.
It was good. What's your name?
Juliana.
Juliana? My name is Mr. Earl.
Hi, Mr. Earl.
It was good to be in school.
Oh, and what's that?
Computer.
Oh, and what's that? Up there.
It's a TV.
And this.
That's the Eagles.
Okay, then where's this TV?
That's up on the screen. You see on the screen? On the wall?
And, you know, like,
on the wall, look.
Up there,
look.
Like, spiritually. You know, just knowing your rights. And also, too, like, the person who represents you. You know, like, if you got something going on in your life, you need to know your rights, where to go in the Bible to look for those things. To, you know, I don't know where I'm going with
that. I receive it. You know what it is? It's
really short. Sure, look, the right, and those guys are.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have the right representation and you don't know your own rights, they can tell you anything.
Yeah.
And so many people get sold up the river because they don't know their rights.
Yeah.
They don't know the power and authority that they have, and they submit to what someone else tell them, this is what it is. Yeah. You know, I shared this past weekend with my sermon that what I did, my mistake I made, the decision I made, got me in trouble. The Lord cast me to the side. And cast me to the side. But once I learned the word and knew who I was, and knew who God was, who my representative was,
oh, and I have a cookie.
I got a place for you. There's some things I need you to do. But according to the world, the misrepresentation, I didn't know no better. I thought I was lost. I thought there was no turning around for my life.
Which had such credence and weight to getting instruction. Because when your father, whether it's your heavenly father or your earthly father, who loves you unconditionally, gives you instruction, it then gives you a knowledge and an understanding on how to live. I don't just mean how to not die. I mean, not have breath in your body. That too. I mean, how to live full in the earth.
Peace out, buddy. Yeah.
All right, yeah, you got the next statement, Benjamin. I want you to read verse 5-9.
You know, Pastor Rob, something you said kind of got me thinking. You said, "Play church." People are playing church. That is a lot of the issue with me growing up. You know, I thought I knew who Jesus was and who God was, but the church I was in at the time did not teach. They made things sound good so that they made you feel good instead of telling you the truth and what the truth really was. And that took me to get down and out, and for somebody to get me, so I would understand what the word really meant. And I think that's a lot of our issues today, is People, they want to be satisfied now. They want to have everything done now. They don't have no patience. And you said rock bottom. And that made me think, God said something to me when I hit rock bottom. He said, listen, you have to fall so I can make a negative into a positive.
You know, and what you said is so important, because if we were talking about that a little while ago, as far as that hitting that bottom place, because it's, we get caught up in thinking it's about ourselves. You know, and I shared before, how can God get glory when it's all about you? You know, and see, the enemy wants us. We deal with the same thing Adam and Eve dealt with. When the enemy telling them, look, God is holding it back from you. You can get it all on your own. You got it. God is holding it back on you. You can get it. And what we continue to do, this is what the world is pursuing. It's been trying to pursue it on their own. And God's saying, look, you had it with me from the beginning. And he's given us an opportunity to get it back. But the only way we can get it back is we got to get in a relationship with him. And not with ourselves. You want to read that scripture? That passage of scripture? From verse 5 to 9.
It says, get wisdom. Is that 5 to 9?
Yeah.
Get wisdom. Acquire understanding. Acquire understanding, seek spiritual discernment, mature comprehension, and logical. Do not turn away from her, and she will guard and protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is... I think I left. Get skillful and godly wisdom. It's preeminent, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Actively seek wisdom. Prize wisdom and exalt her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place you on your head. She will place you on your head of glory like an embrace. She will present you with a crown of beauty and glory.
I don't know who don't want that, but I know I want that. And I can continue to seek God out for more revelation each time I open this book. There's new revelations that's presented before me, and it just fills me up. And it says here, my notes says, wisdom is not just intelligence; it is applying godly principles to life. Many youth today seek success, but Solomon reminds them that wisdom leads to true honor and a fulfilling life, and that's what it's about. Fulfilling life. You know, I tell people all the time, I say, when I was younger, and I ain't old, but in my youth, I did all the things that a lot of adults would do. So, I haven't missed anything. I tell people all the time, people ain't doing nothing different in the street than they was doing back then. Everything is still the same. They're hanging out, drinking, meeting girls, boys, whatever, and doing nothing else. I said, I got peace. I said, I work, go home, spend time with my family. I don't need to go out. I ain't got to hang out with nobody. I ain't got to do none of that. And that's what Solomon was talking. He had everything. There was nothing that Solomon could not, if his heart desired it, and he wanted it, he had it. But it never gave him peace.
Never. So I really think in this season, and Jimmy, I want you to jump in. I think in this time, what makes the younger generation feel like they may not be the same is that they're feeling all the pressure and the stress in what they're doing a little more than we did. Why? There's a reason. Not just because whatever happened. It's because, again, we had people giving us instruction and guidance all along the way. Even if we didn't listen to it, I want to say this, all you out here know this, in some neighborhoods, you got the drunks on the corner, at least they used to be, right? You got some of the hood guys who think they're the bad ones, right? Then you got Miss Sally down the street, who's the old newsie lady in the street, on the block. We're talking really probably urban. That probably doesn't happen in the country as much. But and then you have somebody on the block who's supposed to be the cool guy. I'm naming the characters on the street at that time. They really do still exist now. But then even the alcoholic, the drunk on the street, had some reverence for God enough that he would give you some instruction. Even the cool guy down the street who was doing all the other stuff wouldn't let you do some things. Couldn't hang with them boys. You ain't a man. You can't hang with us. Oh, okay, I'm saying the times have changed in that people aren't reverencing God, and we didn't teach it. So, no, the young people today do not know that what they're feeling is a lack of all of what they didn't receive. I hope that makes sense.
It makes so much sense, and we got a question, but give me 1 second. And one of the biggest differences right now that the kids are facing is the peer pressure.
Yes.
You know, with social media and stuff like that, there were some of those things. What we had was just within our sphere.
Yes, yes.
You know, yes. But now they're seeing all these accolades of people are doing this. So the perception of what success is, and so many of them are thinking, I'm missing out. I need to be doing what they're doing. You know, we had that perception based off of the surroundings that we had. But like you said, we had that moral compass that even with those who were doing it, they still had the respect and still had the reverence of maybe not even of God, but of their peers. You know, Ms. Johnson, I ain't gonna do that in front of Ms. Johnson. And that's Mr. Williams' son. I ain't gonna mess with Mr. Williams' son. And if we see Mr. Williams' son over there, we're gonna tell him, don't, you can't hang out over here. But that reverence is gone. You know, like I said, if even if they have a reverence for God, they have a reverence for the people that was in that community. And that's lost. That's lost. That fear, that reverence is gone.
You know, a perfect example of what you're talking about, man. If you wanted to really keep somebody on the show them the story, let's go to Job. Job had all this had stuff, and all of a sudden, God took it away from him because he told Satan he can, you know, deal with this way. And his friends tried to sway him and everything, and kept his trust in God. And then what happened when he got everything back, it was double, tripled in size.
See, but that come from having a reverence for God.
Yeah.
And he had the relationship. So if you don't have that foundation, you can be swayed by what's going on in your neighborhood, what your friends are saying and what they're doing. Because they're saying, look, why is that happening to you? You must be doing that. And it start playing in your head because you don't really know who you are. You know, and Bob said that last time when he was here and shared on that. He talked about that Job situation. You know, and that's why it's so important for us to push on them to pursue that wisdom. You know, and it's so important for us. We gotta be that place of reverence where they want to respect us enough where they won't do that. You know, we were talking in Wilmington, we used to say, man, they don't reference the ground of the church no more. You know, you see people doing some things on the grounds of the church that you would never see them doing, you know? And so that reference is gone, and that's what we got to get back. I love Dr. Williams because he'll be out there and be like, yo, look, you can't be doing this. You got to move from this, you know? Because we had to make sure they had to respect and recognize, look, this is sacred. This is sacred ground. Yes, yes. So that's pursuing wisdom above all else. So, Elder, can you read verse 10 to 13?
Hear, my son. Proverbs 5, beginning at 10. Hear, my son, and receive my saying. And the years.
Not four.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Proverbs 4, beginning of September. Hear, my son, and receive my saying, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life.
That is so powerful. With so much distractions, so much other temptations around, that this passage of scripture is so needed right now. You know, and that's why I'm encouraging our leadership students to pay attention and to read Proverbs, because there's so much instruction in it, you know, and as we talked about, that you got to get it for yourself. You know, it's not grandma, it's not mama, but you have to have it for yourself.
Yeah, nice. I just wanted to, in reading out of Proverbs, where I'm actually going to be study talking about the promises of God. So the promises of God come with instructions for, and if you're obedient, it has a promise connected to it that gets to talk about, you know, that she is life, and, you know, teaching her what it would add to you. So these are some of the promises that come that we could live life in abundance. But instead, I'm going to be doing the comparison, because instead of living in the promises of God in the abundance of it, we're living in the poverty, or many are, of promises. So, in other words, they take on the poverty mentality, which about not doing them, can't do it, and doing all these other things and not getting the blessings. So God's word comes with promises. You know, if we'll do this, you know, then it surely has life. Well, it's the life that we want, the life that we desire. And so, but it comes with conditions. That's where I want to kind of connect with it. It's conditional. And if you'll obey the word of God, the conditions will follow. So I'm talking about those harvests, those fruits. So, you know, I'm going to be doing that this starting this week, that series of promises of God versus the poverty of God, of the promises. Because I find that there's so many people choosing not to do it because they think, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we're thinking, I want to go with what's going on around me as opposed to going on, standing out, being different. And I would challenge, you know, I'm a little older today, but when the younger generation, how the influence of what's going on around us, if it's this influence is not positive and it's not, the word of God says it was true yesterday, today, and tomorrow, which means it's for everybody, young, middle-aged, and old. It has no bearings on age or time. But the truth is the truth, and it stands the test of time. And so that's what I want to continue to say. This thing works for if you're 25, 15, 45, or 80.
Yeah, and I got it. Jermaine want to say something, but I got a question for you, too.
Okay.
Say what you want to say.
I want to say that the age don't matter.
No.
That's correct, because it comes down to know who you are, and you know who God is, because people so tied up into what the world looks like and what this person got and what that got, they think they fall short of their blessings because it don't happen. Because it happened for this person, don't mean it's going to happen for you at that time. Because this person got that, don't mean it's going to happen. It might not even be for you ever. But you got to appreciate what you got and understand.
And walk out your walk.
Yep.
And play your hand. That's what, you know. I'm watching you and watching your life as a young man. This is important to me because you have to get this. What you just shared with me, if you don't get it, I get what you just said, and it's clear to me, and you're right, and I can stand behind that 100%, because God's got greater things than that. You get it and walk out in your life. There's things within that he's promised you that he didn't promise me, but those promises for you will have an effect on your life. First, you're the first partaker, but then they can also have an effect on so many others. You know, right now, be setting the stage for that young man who's just maybe 4 years old. You could be laying down foundation. I believe that there's a certain point in my life that I'm setting the foundation laying down for a 25, a 30-year-old. So, but we all, according to that word, it produces life. And so that's what we want to do. And so that's the part of the promises. So the promises are yes and amen, but they're not all for me, but I'm first partaker.
That's right.
You're first partaker. And here's the great thing I think you could be able to tell all the other young brothers out there. You're experiencing some of the blessings and the promises of God by being obedient. I didn't make that up. You live it.
We got two questions for you.
Okay.
Hey, we up here, but we got questions for you.
That's fine.
My question for you is, at what point did you recognize that you had to make a change?
So, for me, I was hard-headed. So, for me, I had to go hit rock bottom. Okay? So, I admonish people out there that why wait till everything has gone all wrong when you can take an acceptance in the middle of the game or somewhere before that. But for me, because I thought I had life all figured out and I knew everything better than everybody else. So he had to allow me to go my route that everything fell apart and fell out. And at that point, I realized I was wrong, and he was always right. But here's what I love, that his grace and his mercy accepted me. So I want to help that person think they got to be religious, because I'm not talking about religiosity. I'm talking about a relationship. He met me where I was at. And meeting me there that night changed my life to show me that this God is so good to meet me where I'm at, knowing how guilty of everything, and yet I cried out, and he helped me when nobody else would help me. Okay, when everything else was sold out, everything else was out of the game, and I was everything I said I wouldn't do, and I had now become. All of what happened, my whole life had just changed right before me, and I thought I had it all figured out, and it was out the door. Yet he met me here, and I discovered that night that I was more than who, what I was doing and where I was at. So I discovered who I was. So it took me to that point. And I want to encourage anybody, you know, that God is interested in you. If you still have breath in your body, then you're still able to be in the land of the living. You can come to a place of forgiveness and repentance. And you can come to that place. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about relationship.
That's right. Yes. You touched right where you answered, and you touched on everything we had just spoken on prior to you coming in. So you confirmed everything. Elder got something she wanted to share, and then we're going to move on to this next scripture.
I'm sitting here trying to figure out how to ask this question, Pastor. But we often say that this thing is unconditional. But then we give words of wisdom that explain there are some steps we have to take. So I'm going to ask you, if you will, explain to our people that being unconditional, what unconditional means, and how that conditional process, because it is, applied to us.
So I would probably say like this: God's love that he wanted to extend and he put in play, he loves us. He was willing to give it unconditionally. But his blessings and his promises come based off the conditions of your obedience to the word. And so unconditional is love. Conditional part is tied to the obedience and the promises, to the blessings. So, and we all want them. But in order to have them, it's tied to a condition of you doing something. The unconditional part is it's open to everybody. He said, whosoever will, which means whosoever will is willing to do what God said and be a part of God's kingdom by obeying his word can experience the blessings and the promises of God. And so they come with the condition of obedience. Obedience is better than the sacrifice. You can't do this thing just because you want to do it the way you want to do it. Oh, I tried that. I tried to do what I wanted to do the way I wanted to do it. Every time I did that, it didn't work.
That's right.
Yes. Amen.
So I will tell you, the moment when I submitted and committed to the will of God and to the word of God, my life changed.
You know, that just touched into what you're talking about. You activated the promises.
Right.
You activated the promises.
Because they come with the condition.
Yes.
Thank you, Pastor.
So, I'm going to read verses 14 through 17. And we're talking about avoiding the wicked. It says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence.
So they are, who are they?
Who are they?
The wicked. The people who do not, who are not obedient and followers of the word of God. Either you, the word says you either be for or you're against. There is no middle ground for them. So if you're for them, then you're doing and obeying the word of God. You're taking good instruction.
And let me say this to the people. It's not about being perfect. Yeah. It's not about doing everything right. It's about doing better and you being better and you recognizing what you did wrong and you not doing that greasy grace like Pastor Ray say all the time and slipping and sliding like she said, being hot and cold. God is looking for you. Once you know better, you do better. You avoid those things. Listen, I shared earlier, like when I was in the world, I did what the world was doing. And I'm not in the world no more. I don't need that. My peace comes from being at work, sharing with other people, going home, being with my family. That's my peace.
Not only peace. And I'm looking at your man because he spoke about it last week. My joy. I'm at peace. But the joy, meaning I get excited when we're talking. I'm excited, even right now, excited about the word of God. Excited about being in the presence of the kingdom dwellers. Excited about serving and loving and helping other people. Excited about what I know God will do in our lives. That joy, the old folks say, y'all can see I'm from the church, right? The world says the world can't give it and the world can't take it away.
Jermaine, want to say something first and then we go to
the real quick. I just wanted to touch on what she said in the crowd about your representation is important because my representation helped me understand what you guys say, dominion over authority over myself. Mm-hmm. And it's to the point where like I don't play who I allow in my life. Because I don't care if it's a boss, a manager, what they making, what person they know, do they trust God? And that's kind of like how I dictate who I allow in my life. And that's where my peace comes from because I know a lot of people who's not walking with God. They will allow things, you know, to go on their life and stuff like that.
And that's a good place. That's a good place to be, too, because you're responsible for you. And if you don't protect you, how can you expect anybody else to? So, but just going back to y'all reading out of Proverbs, these are wisdom words that they're trying to help us with. And you're talking about the wicked and those that I'm thinking about. Like right now, my joy is when I see a young brother trying to change his life and help his people. And he's being him, right? He don't wear his hair like me, right? My hair, he wears hair like him. And that's part of them, that's cool with me because God ain't got an issue with his hair or the way he dresses, right? He's got an issue with his heart and his head. And so, and when I see a young mother wanting more and different for our children and our life, those that get me excited, those are the things that bring joy to my life, right? But the wicked one, let me share with you. When I told you, I was down and out, I was broke, busted, and disgusted. Nobody would touch me. Nobody wanted anything to do with me, right? But all the people that I thought I helped and hooked up in my day, in my things, right, they wanted nothing to do with me when I'm lost and turned out, right? But here, and all of a sudden, I made a decision to get my life right, right? All of a sudden, the wicked showed up. The wicked showed up because, you know what? They said, listen, You know, you need to stay over here. We're going to help you. I'm going to hook you up. Right? To lure you back to where you just came from, because that's wickedness. Because, okay, now I don't want him out. I don't want him. So the enemy doesn't want to allow you out. He wants you to stay in his camp. And if you're foolish enough, you'll go back. And so many people have. And I can tell you, the road to hell is even faster going back when you got an opportunity to come out. So that's just brings you back to the point you said. I just wanted y'all to identify. You said who was the wicked. I wanted you to see who they were, and those that avail themselves to the negativism. So leadership and God's leadership, he wants it to be positive. But real leadership in its essence of meaning is both positive and negative. So I can lead negatively or I can lead positively. And when you talk about joy and peace, you know, and now I get joy and peace out of seeing others start to achieve in what God has said or was saying, particularly, and it's exciting when he's given me something to say, they heard it, and they respond to it. That's exciting. That brings me joy.
You know, just saying that, I just think about the joy that God gives.
Yeah.
Just think about the joy that
God gives. Out of our responses.
And our responses in doing some of those things, you know. And I had on my notes here, young adults often face peer pressure, bad influence, and temptation. And this passage warns against associating with those who do evil. And their ways lead to destruction. And, you know, most of us are here now because we were a part of that destruction. We were in that group. But God, you know, and his saving grace has given us an opportunity to be here now and to share the good news. And not just share it, be the examples of it, that light to show them that there is a way out, regardless of what your situation is. God has an opportunity for you. He knew you before you was in your mother's womb. You know, so it's so great, and I pray that we're touching somebody and they're hearing this and they're ready to move away from direction that they wanted to go, but now they want to go the way God wants them to go. Amen? We got another question on stage.
Not really a question. I just want to say that this is so on point for my study. I'm just Proverbs. Last night's scripture was Proverbs 1:33. It said, but whosoever talketh unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of the evil. I have to say that Proverbs is powerful.
Amen.
See how it touches from the young to the old and all in between. Nobody gets this. God leaves not one person out. If you so desire to listen.
So, Elder, can you read verse 18 and 19?
But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble.
And here in my notes it says, righteous living leads to increased clarity and blessing, while the way of the wicked leads to darkness and confusion. And as I said, I was living in darkness and confusion. You know, I had no vision of this stage of my life. I had no idea or even thoughts of this point of my life. And there's so many young men and women out there right now who have no vision because they're so full of that darkness and confusion. And we're here to tell you now that God is the light. He has a way for you to get out of that darkness and confusion. And no matter how far or how deep you are, God, all you have to do is call out his name and begin to seek his face, and he will pull you out of that place.
There's an example. Oh, go ahead.
Come to my sister June so that you can hear. I want to speak on something that I got
everybody was supposed to. And they had notified me that I was no longer having insurance or prescription plan. And I kind of got fearful of, oh, well, how am I going to get the medicine? How am I going to live? So Congress 356 came to me and it said, trust the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct your path. And so walking in faith was hard, you know, especially when you have the enemy speaking to you, so you have to cast down mind of imagination, casting out. And so I started saying, because I'm going to trust God. I'm going to have that damn faith that I'm going to trust in Him, and I'm going to fulfill the plan and destiny that He has for my life. And I thank God for my church, our fivefold ministry, people who help us and give us direction and guidance and build us up so we can have that faith and walk in that faith. And like Pastor Ray said, God's promises are yes and amen. So I'm going to believe in God, regardless of what the doctor may say, what the insurance company may say. And my cardiologist, I sent me a text saying, I am praying for you. So I thank God I got a
friend. No, that's right. I can't help but jump behind that testimony because, again, I want to share. So we just took the word, the Proverbs, and everything we hear. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And then we heard a testimony of sharing where I am. And she identified, of course, fear tried to creep in. But she had to allow, she had to make a decision. And I love this, for the word addresses every issue, not some, every issue. So she got the scripture that fit to her life in that word, and then standing on that, because at the end of the day, that's what faith is. You have to trust God through the process, beyond what everybody else said. What did he say, and who do you gonna believe? Okay, the company said this, and God said this. You got, they're on the opposite sides of the fence, right? Who are you going to believe? And so I'm sharing this is why I love the word of God, because it does meet you where you are. And then you got to make the choice to say, okay, I'm going to believe God. And now she's going to have to walk this thing out. Now, there's no question the enemy's going to try to bring some things to be good. But the same token, I can say, I can flip this way and tell you, God's going to work it out because why? You trusted him. And he's not a man that he can lie. And he wouldn't say nothing that he knows he can't bring to pass. So, but you got to walk it out. And this is where you got to protect what comes into you and who is in you and what is around you to trust him to get the way he wants you to be. This thing is real. And I'm just encouraging all those that are listening. So the word of God also comes. He said, you know, where there's no test, there's no testimony. You know, but the word can fit in all of those areas, and so it is appropriate that you guys are talking about this, and it's some place where we all need, I need to hear this, you know, to encourage my faith for the next stage and the next place. Wow, this is how we do it, and this is why this is so necessary, that the Lord places this on your heart to share tonight, because there's many, hundreds, thousands, that are hundreds of thousands, that need to hear this tonight. And so all those that will get an opportunity to tune in and listen to this, this is why you make many people's lives tonight. I know it, and in at different stages and different places, but it's the most amazing thing. It can fit us all. It fits us. One word comes to encourage. If people need to hear that because they're in that same position.
They are. And a lot of people. And knowing the word of God, and I say this frequently now, you've heard me say this, we are in the beginning of the last days. And the word taught us that. But God didn't leave us unprepared. And he tells us to fear not, because he is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But you don't know that, not you, I mean people who don't know the instruction of the word, don't know that. I've got to give you this example. How much time did I have to run? I was watching a preacher, and she gave this example, and it's so applicable right now. She talked about taking her children fishing, and she don't like fishing because she don't want to put worms on the hook or none of that. So she didn't do that. But the same spot they went to all the time, there was a boat, and it was always turned over, and you had to turn the boat over up to get in it and get it in the water. But the boat stayed turned over on the land, and the land was close to the water. So, of course, the ground around there was moist. So she knew every time they went to go turn over that boat, there was going to be something under the boat, some kind of animal, some kind of bug, some kind, because that's where that stuff lived and bred, right? And she said, I dreaded, I didn't tell my children, but I dreaded going fishing because of that reason. She said, but when the revelation came to me about this turning over this boat, as long as it was in darkness under the boat and the light couldn't shine on it, it had some authority or power. But the minute I turned that boat over and whatever slithered out from under it was now exposed and the light of God shone on it, it no longer had the authority over me, and I didn't have to fear it anymore because God exposed it for what it was. And y'all with me with that? Knowing the instruction of the word exposes the darkness in our lives. So you no longer have to fear it like we do. And we all go there. I just need you all to know that. There is no one on earth that doesn't go through some periods of fear. None of us. But when you expose it to the light where it can't hide and do its dark stuff anymore, it has to be dispelled. So the instruction of the word, as the word said, we read it, will bring light to your life.
That's right. Amen. Amen. So we're going to close on this last verse of scripture. Jermaine, you want to read verse 23 to 27?
Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of spring the issue of life. Put away from you a disciple mouth, and preserve far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to right or left, remove your foot from evil.
I'm going to read it from the Amplified, because it gives a little bit more detail. And it says here, it says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the spring of life. Put away from you a deceitful, lying, misleading mind, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead towards the path of moral courage, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you towards the path of integrity. Consider well and watch carefully the path of your feet, and all your ways will be steadfast and sure. Do not turn away to the right nor the left where evil may lurk. Turn your foot from the path of evil. Amen. That is so powerful. And it just summarizes everything that we shared here today in this passage of scripture within this whole chapter of chapter 4, where God is saying, don't look to the left nor the right. He wants us to look straight ahead, keep our eye on him, stay focused in on him. Do not allow anything to linger in our ear, to dwell in our eyes. Don't let nothing have a stable place but him. That's focusing on him. And too often, we get caught in the storm. The distraction and all those things that linger in that dark space. But so long as we keep our eye on him, light is shining. And the more we stay focused on him, the light will continue to get brighter and brighter. Solomon here says he warns corrupt speech and distractions. This applies today to the age of social media, gossip, and misinformation. Young adults must stay focused on truth and righteousness. And the way they're going to be able to stay focused on truth and righteousness is we have to be examples of it. We have to be that light for them. You know, we talked about that, those neighborhoods that we grew up in growing up where there was a reverence. We got to be that reverence. But they have a respect and an understanding that they don't want to do those things around us. And that will give them a conscience. Because right now they lost that. They lost that reverence for God, let alone the people of God. And we have to bring that back by being that example and saying that we're not going to accept it. And when you're around me, there's going to have to be a sense of respect and an understanding that, look, this is not going to be tolerated. And this is how we're going to make a difference. This is how we're going to change things.
Pastor, I just want to add this. He just told you about us taking a stand, us being those of us who know the word of God, on behalf of those who may not know or not be able to be fully comprehend. It is important to stand truth, because the word says the truth shall make you free. And if we don't stand on the truth, even when it's uncomfortable for those around us to hear it, when you stand on the truth, you are then freeing up the hand of God to do for people, other people's lives, what you know he's done for yours.
So with that, we're about to close, and as we always close, we always say that this word doesn't cost a thing, but ministry does cost. And if God placed on your heart to sow a seed, please sow a seed. The information is coming up on the screen so you can sow a seed. And it's not just about monetary. We want you in the presence of God. We want you to be a part of the kingdom. So if God placed some things on your heart to be a part of the kingdom, to do in the kingdom, we here at Faith Harvest would love to have you here on Wednesday, here on Sundays at 10:30, and then Wednesdays at 6. Come be a part. Share the ministry gift that God has given you. God is not just looking for monetary. Monetary things are just here, but he's looking for things that's going to have impact. He's placed things on you, on the inside of you, that's going to have impact on the children of God. So if that's you and God has called you to do something different and you're hesitant, please come be a part. We want to help encourage you and help you move into the ministry that God has called you to do. Amen? So with that, we always give a last saying. So if you got something you want to say before we close out, Jermaine?
No, I don't. Not today.
Okay, Elder, you want to? So I just want to have this here note here. It says here, Proverbs 4 is a father's plea to his children to choose wisdom over foolishness, righteousness over sin, and discipline over carelessness. Whether young or old, these instructions remain timeless and essential for living a godly life. So I pray that you grab hold of Proverbs 4 and begin to move according to where God is calling you to live so you can live a prosperous life. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a good night.
Save that energy for the parade.
Yo. They don't need to be talking about nothing about the Sixers, man.
Terrible. Man, I saw that. I was like, yo. Cause Luka gone. Yo. We having a party around the corner.
Yeah.
Yep. Got pool table. We'll be around the corner. Just let me know, y'all. Y'all be soon. Sunday.
Oh,